sorry. Thank you.
When the red book is?
Yes, red book. Hymn number 243. Dave's away. Brother Krestenberg will be preaching for us this morning. We welcome him to and pray that the Holy Spirit will just have its will and way here this morning. If everybody'd please stand and get a hymn book and turn to hymn number 210. And our brother Dickens come forth to receive the morning offering. Brother Ron, would you ask blessing and offering, please?
Thank you. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing on. And when from death I'm free, I'll sing and joyful be. And through eternity, I'll sing on, I'll sing on. And through eternity, I'll sing on. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that calls the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, for my soul. To bear the dreadful curse for my soul.
Amen. That's good singing.
There is a fountain filled with blood,
amen,
drawn from Emmanuel's veins,
amen,
and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains.
Thank you, Lord.
Guilty stains and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, 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 wash all since by faith I
I too like to welcome everybody out this morning. Dave called me last night and talked to me. He is very heartbroken that he wasn't able to be here this morning. His flight, he got stuck and just couldn't get, there's no way to get home. He just stuck. And but anyways, one of the things is really great in the Lord is he always prepares another vessel with a message for us. And today I've got the honor of introducing a dear friend of mine. I have a unique relationship with this man, meaning this, that I could spend a year and not talk to him, and he would walk up to me, and it was as if we had never quit talking. I feel like the Lord's knit our heart together. My spirit bears witness with his spirit. And it is an honor for me today to get introduced this young, I can't call him young man anymore, because he's getting old like me. to introduce Brother Creston. Today we're also going to set a plate out, Brother Allen, if it's all right for Brother Creston for coming today. And if you guys would you do as the Lord sees fit. Brother, come and have free will, brother.
Amen. All right. Lord, you help us. Amen. I've never been so honored and humbled by the, as Brother just explained, I appreciate you explaining that. He Brother Dave told me, he said, now you tell them that I tried every way in the world to get there, and but he just couldn't make it work out. But there I was. It's kind of late last night when I got the call. But and then after I get off the phone with him, I'm just sitting there in awe and in wonder. Brother Sean mentioned there, just it's amazing how God does what God does. You know what I'm saying? And I'd been thinking on a thought this week, and I thought, Lord, now I'm not preaching anywhere. So, I thought, I'll just keep this thing laying over here. And anyway, we had a missionary coming to our church this morning. I got talking to him last night, and I said, let me tell you what I'm preaching on. But I said, I ain't going to be there with you in the morning. But anyway, we just got to rejoicing in the Lord. And then to come in here and to hear the songs that were just sung from the choir. Amen. I mean, it's in the cross. And man, what wondrous love. Amen. And then get to thinking about that fountain that flows with blood. And I'm thinking, man, there's the whole message. Amen. But folks, I'm just glad we serve a sovereign God. Amen. I'm talking that it orders everything. He's got everything in control. We don't even really have to worry about a whole lot of things, folks. I'm telling you, living by faith is a wonderful life. But man, it's tough to do that. I struggle just like anybody else does, just like every patriarch in the Bible did. That's why they didn't cross every T and dot every I. And guess what? You and I don't either, amen? But I'm glad that Jesus did it all. And man, we plunge underneath that cleansing flow. And man, all of our sins, they're gone, amen? So if there's any place I'll feel good, it ought to be to Helenwood Baptist Church this morning. After what we've done heard, I could go home and skip my loo all the way from here to there. But it's good in here this morning. And I want to tell you, Helenwood Baptist Church, I love you. I'm proud of you. I love you, Pastor, and appreciate what God done right there and helped you at a time right there. And love to see God taking you forward. And that's just how he works. Amen. But we want to keep our eyes on Jesus this morning. So if I can, I want you to turn with me to the book of Psalm. And look in the chapter number 27. And I'm going to probably read the last two verses in Psalm 27 and try to bring you a thought the Lord's laid on our heart. And it's about as fresh as it can be, amen? But we'll be looking at that and probably be referring to, we'll flip over to the Hall of Faith, and you can probably find that, most of you, without me saying no more, but Hebrews chapter 11 right there. And we'll be looking down there about verse 24 and down around through there when we get to that part. But if we could, we're going to stand our feet if we can, those that can and will. And you find you place Psalms 27, verse 13. And notice what the Bible says right here. This is the Word of God. And the Word of God had a psalmist writing here. And folks, Psalms were written just like every word in the entire Bible as instructed by the Holy Ghost of God. As they moved upon men's heart, they took off writing. And of course, this right here, I love how it starts off in verse number 13, and it says, I had fainted unless. Boy, I'm glad it took a turn right there, amen. He says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's pray right there. Heavenly Father, I need your help this morning. And God, I'm going to just trust you to help me. And God, most of all, I want you to bless each and every heart that's came this way. And God, I pray for their pastor and his family. God, as they're trying to get to where they need to go. And Father, just through all the worldly steps of life, I ask you to bless every family that's represented here, Father, trying to get to where we need to be, God, for you. God, thank you for ordering our steps. Thank you, God, that we can trust you no matter what happens in this life, in this world. And Father, we just want to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory this morning. I want to thank you, God, for a wonderful hope, God, we have. And Father, we just ask you, God, that you'll help us lift up Christ Jesus. God, we ask that, God, you'll save that one nearest hell. God, we ask, God, you'll take your people and maybe they be encouraged and edified, Father. God, what a valiant church this is that's always stood on the front lines for God. We thank you, God, for the Helenwood Baptist Church. Help us, God, to look unto you, our Lord, our Maker, and our Savior. We love you so much for what you're doing in our lives. In Christ's name we ask for your help, Lord. Amen, amen. I want to preach, I thought this morning, around a familiar phrase, if I didn't know better. Now we've all said that a million times, if I didn't know better. You know, somebody be trying to sell us something sometimes, and we'll say, well, man, if I didn't know better, I would think. And in a sense, that's where I kind of got the title, is out of Psalms 27:13. The psalmist is trying to say, well, I'd fainted unless. You see what I'm saying? But we things like, I know better, you know, sometimes. And then sometimes it's a decision. We will say, well, I know better. Sometimes there's something faced with us, a decision, and we'll think, well, man, I'd do this, but, man, I know better. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like sometimes I get to run a truck down to Jackson on Thursdays, and I know better than to leave here past 5:30 in the morning, amen? I leave about 3:30 over here and leave out, just I come by this church every morning about 3:30, amen? But anyway, leave from Takahata over here and drive a truck down to Jackson, and man, when I leave at 3:30, I can go in one side of Nashville and come out the other side without a hitch, amen? But I know better than to leave later than that. That's why you do those things. Folks, a lot of you know better. You see, this is where this phrase comes from, and I'm explaining this phrase real good, and I'm trying to get us familiar and rethink how we've used it. We say it and don't even understand that we do it so much. But I'm not going to use it in the way you've ever used it. I'm going to use it in a way you've never heard it today. But the thing about it is, we do know better than a lot of things. Sometimes we all know better, but we do things anyway. Now, folks, there ain't a human being in here that you're human. They just things you know better and you do, and it's like, man, why did I do that? I know better than that, you know what I'm saying? But we've all made them mistakes too, you know what I'm saying? But this phrase, I know better, it's burnt in our minds this way, but we're going to let the Word of God help us, God, today, amen? God's going to do some helping for us. He helped me with this. I was about to blow a gasket, and I got to get a hold of it, and I'm just glad I get to preach it right here this morning. So I want to shift your gears now as you've got refamiliarized with a phrase that we use it in different ways. Well, I know better. Well, I want you to use it just like this. Now, Brother Sean got up, and he said, I know this brother. In other words, he was saying, man, I know Creston. I want you to think of it in that term. I know Sean. I know many of you and others sitting here, but I also know better. Do you know better? Do you? You think, now preacher, listen, this is year 2021. Boy, if you just know what's going on in my life, you wouldn't be saying things are better. But I want us to look at some things right here, and I want to contend that things are better. Amen? I want to contend to you this morning that things are getting better. You know what I'm saying? But folks, we live in a world, and you're probably saying, I know better than that, preacher. It's perilous times, and it is, amen. But things are still getting better. And I want to encourage you this morning to try to get in that thought process of that you know better. And if you know, some people don't know better. But I hope you can know better before we leave here this morning. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you see people out there and they've always just got that smile on their face. And folks, sometimes it'll aggravate you if you'll just be honest. You know, you're always wondering why they always smiling. Well, they got to smile about it, amen. But the thing about it is it's because they know better, amen. I mean, they know better than worse. You see what I'm saying? You either know better or worse, one of the two. And folks, we live in a time that you know, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. But what you hear, folks, it programs you every day. And you don't realize it. Amen. Man, we get up Monday morning and we come in and nobody would know that we know better because we're talking that we know worse. It's bad where we're at. It's just bad. It's doom. It's gloom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, life is just not what it used to be. But folks, I'm just telling you what, we've got it better. So we've got it so better we're spoilt rotten, don't understand it. I mean, folks, they probably ain't a one of us here ain't got a freezer full of meat or something, especially after last year. You probably got 25 rolls of toilet paper stocked up too, amen? I mean, folks, what I'm trying to say is we've got such a bountiful supply, we don't even appreciate better sometimes. But it'd do us good to know better this morning. And so I want to look at that. I believe that's what the psalmist was trying to say. See, he got in touch with better instead of worse. You know what I'm saying? He said, I had fainted unless. I mean, folks, some people don't know what the psalmist said. I want you to look what he said. He said, unless I had believed. You see, those that's never believed, Bershon, they don't know better. They don't. They just know it as it's worse, and it's getting worse. For those that's never believed, it's not. Listen, you've never seen a better day. Never. You say, now, preacher, I've had some good days in my life. Friend of mine, if you're here this morning and you ain't walking with Jesus and you ain't born again, it's getting darker and darker and the days are getting worse and worse. Not on an outward stance, amen. You're getting closer to hell every day, amen. You better realize that if you're lost. But the thing about it is when you know better, and the sister just got done singing that song. Did you hear her say that? Ever since that day, whoopee! What she's saying is it's been better, amen. You know, she knows better. She's singing about better, amen. But folks, what I'm trying to say is it's really better. And the thing about it is it'd do us good to be like the psalmist and just believe that we know better, amen. I mean, maybe you walk in the morning and say, hey, I know better. They'll say, no better than what? I just know better. It ain't better than what, it's I know better, amen. You know what I'm saying? Better is better than what I used to know. So let's look at this. The psalmist said, unless I had believed. So folks, you got to be a believer. It's what you believe. I mean, folks, listen, I don't know about you, but I was just thinking about how God works things out and just does things in my life. Now, I'll be 53 in November, amen. And I appreciate my brother saying, a young man, Woo! Glory to God, I owe you lunch right there, brother. Amen. But anyway, folks, what I'm trying to say is, man, it's getting better for me. Amen. And folks, and you say, preacher, how can you say that? I mean, folks, last year, I probably had one of the most trying years in my life. I mean, in January the 6th, two drunk people in Jamestown run through a stop sign, run clean over me. Amen. I was just tooling up the road, and boom, here they come. And man, next thing you know, I can't even walk. For 3 months, can't put my foot on the floor, amen. And then if it wasn't for that, about the time I got my foot on the floor, my dad got in the wreck right up here on 27, and 4 weeks later, steps over into glory and had to bury my dad in the month of April. Now, that ain't been that long ago. The man, that's one of the most trying, one of the hardest things I've ever done, Brother Sean. Amen. And I'm telling you what, that was hard. But I'm telling you, it's getting better. Amen. And the thing about it is, folks, see, the Bible's real clear on these things. He says a man has hope only in this life, amen, in this world. And that's our problem. The Bible says you're of all men most miserable. And folks, that's where we put our hope every day. We get up, and first thing you knew, maybe you don't. I hope you don't. I used to do this, amen. But I ain't done it never. I couldn't tell you the last time I turned on Fox or CNN, amen. But anyway, I believe my blood pressure has been better, amen. See, there, it gets better when you get away from the right things, amen. But just get that stuff out of your system and look at God's forecast, and you can say, well, glory to God, it's getting better, amen. You know, I'm folks, you watching up of this stuff, and it's what you start believing it. And then it comes out in your personality, and then it comes out in your nerves, and then you're thinking about this, and you're worrying about things you might not have to worry about. Folks, I'm telling you what, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is absolutely so close. I may not use all the meat I got in my freezer, amen. And folks, if the Lord comes gets me, I've got a freezer full. If you're left behind, go down there and get it, amen. It'll help you stay alive, amen. But folks, what I'm trying to say is, and I'm serious about that. But folks, I'm not going to be here, and maybe I hope you ain't neither, but I really hope you see things getting better, amen. Folks, what I'm trying to say is the Apostle Paul, the patriarchs, they looked into a coming day, but they faced their days, and the Apostle Paul made some of the most amazing statements, did he not? I mean, folks, listen, do you remember in the book of Acts, I believe it is in chapter 28 over there. I mean, here he is in jail chains, and man, he's brought before King Agrippa, and he says, I think myself happy, O king. You know what I'm saying? I mean, folks, Apostle Paul thought, man, I know better, amen. I mean, there he was. He could have had his head cut off, and you say, well, man, what you reckon what he's happy about? Well, he thought, man, if they cut my head off, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Woo! Glory to God, Apostle. Amen. I mean, the Apostle Paul knew better. Amen. Folks, when you know better, I mean, this world's going to have a real hard time of putting its little claws on you like it does most people, and they're so pulled down. You know what I'm saying? But, folks, I'm just saying, man, he walked around and said some of the most astounding statements like that ever was. He blowed people's minds. Amen. You can read in the chapter before that. That's Acts chapter 28. One of my most favorite stories is found in Acts chapter 27. And you'll find Paul in the midst of a storm. I'm talking where there's no sun, no stars for many days. Amen. I mean, they're throwing the tackling of the ship over. They're throwing everything overboard. And folks, listen, don't get me wrong. I've been there. Boy, you ever been there? You ever been distressed? You ever get to thinking, man, we're just going to have to part with everything. We're going to have to do with everything just stay afloat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're on your knees. I mean, you should be on your knees. Amen. That's what Apostle Paul did. You know, he wasn't walking around in his arrogance. He didn't walk around in his own flesh. But, man, he got a hold of God and got there to stay with God. But the next thing you know, folks, what I'm trying to say, the Apostle Paul was on a storm or on a ship in the most violent of storms, when other people were afraid of their life. Now, folks, ain't you glad he didn't turn Fox News on and says, listen, you guys are going to drown. He went out there and said, man, it's bleak. We ain't going to make it. I mean, the economy's sinking. The ship's taking on water. But what did he do? It says, and after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. He says, sirs, be of good cheer. Amen. I mean, these people are about to lose their life. And Apostle Paul, what he's trying to say is, he says, man, I just know better. Amen. And they're thinking, you've lost your mind, preacher, amen. But anyway, folks, listen. He said, sirs, be of good cheer, for it shall be as it was told me, amen. And folks, he'd had a little talk with Jesus, amen. And a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. But folks, let's see what the scriptures tells us right here about this world we live in. Now, folks, listen, if I look at the world situation and the demographics of what's going on and just fundamental things, I get tore out of the frame, get tore up, get down, get depressed. You get depressed, preacher? I'm probably more depressed than y'all ever think. Just pause right there. You say, well, what do you do? Well, I get to reading this word and I get to knowing better, and it changes my mind about a lot of things, and I ain't as bad off as I think it is sometimes. You see what I'm saying? Folks, our problem is we're not honest enough with each other, and we look at each other like everybody, you know, we how it is. You look at people and you think, oh, man, they've got it all together. They never have a problem. Folks, you'd be foolish to believe that. There's no such residence that exists on planet Earth.
Every home, USA, has got its challenges and its problems. I mean, the Bible says that your adversary, the devil, you ain't exempt. I'm not exempt. Man, he attacks me, he attacks you. I'm here to encourage you that even though you might know your adversary, I would get to know better. I'm telling you what, folks, it'll change your life. It'll change your tune. It'll change your walk. It'll change your skip. Amen. It can change it so much that people even look at you and say, what is it with you today? You know what I'm saying? I mean, folks, really, I mean, you could have that effect on where you're going in the morning, maybe even going home today. Might be somebody at your house today didn't get to come today. There's a lot of people having to stay at home right now. My oldest son and his family's having to stay home, amen? And you know how this sickness thing is. And so anyway, folks, listen, it'd be good to them just to, encourage whoever it is. Things are getting better. Things are on the up and up. Folks, people don't ever hear that, but that's what the Bible says. The Bible won't ever talk about it getting bleak. And the Bible always says we are saved and we have a lively hope, a lively one. Amen. Hope. Amen. And the thing about it is, folks, when you're in the hand of God, you're in the hedge of God, and inside that hedge there's help, and inside the help you got hope. Amen. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's what the Word of God teaches. So why would we go out with a false report? You see, that's what happened to them back there in the book of Numbers. You remember he sent the 12 spies in, and the 10 went out there, Brother Sean, they went out there, and they said, oh, man, there's giants in the land. Where's grasshoppers in their sights? And Caleb and Joshua was like, I mean, have you lost your mind? I mean, man, grapes are over there, you know what I'm saying? There's grapefruit in the land, and by the way, we can take it at once, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they knew better, but the other 10, they just, all they know is giants. And folks, listen, I know you got giants in your life, and they probably some real deals here. They probably some real heartache. They some real challenging times. I mean, folks, listen, if it ain't the probably biggest one in the world is death and challenges and man, our homes and our structures and all the challenges that come right there and the things that are facing. See, when we get inside your walls, if we even just talk about your walls without talking about specifics, you're thinking, man, I don't even like looking there. But folks, listen, fear not, amen. You look up. Your Lord, your captain, he died to save you, amen. And he's with you. He'll never forsake you, amen. And folks, if you will live by faith, not by what you see, not by what's going on around you, folks, start trusting the Lord. Start thinking, man, I'd have fainted unless I'd have believed, amen. Folks, become a believer that God does things better. You remember Jesus' mother said over there in the book of Matthew, said he doeth all things well, amen. And folks, I'm just telling you what, sometimes we don't understand better. And the thing about it is, can you imagine what it is to be facing some bleak situations? You remember the little Shunammite woman over there in the book of Kings over there, and Elisha, the man of God, was there. And so she'd got a great blessing from God, and folks, Elijah had been gone for a little bit there, so she's back home, her little boy dies, and man, she takes off, the Bible says, after the man of God. Now, I'm pretty sure that you know better when you're making funeral arrangements, and people meet you on the way, and they say, how is it with you? How is it with your husband? How is it with your son? And you say, it is well. You know better when you have that report. Folks, that's the report she had. She goes to the man of God. The man of God goes back to her son. Of course, we know that he's miraculously raised up. Folks, I'm just saying, for that little Shunammite, it got better for her, amen. I'm telling you what, when the Lord passes your way, it'll be better, amen. I'm just telling you what, Jesus was even on record over there, and there's a man's daughter laid, and she lay dead. And man, she was dead when Jesus came, and as he was departing, amen, she was made alive. You know what I'm saying? Folks, what? It's a better day when Jesus passes your way and you went from death to life, amen. I'm pretty sure in the house they say, man, it's better. And you're saying, but preacher, I mean, things like that may not happen in my house. Well, folks, listen, that's what Jesus was doing. He didn't come to make everybody's household right as far as, you know, raise every dead person that's ever died. I mean, that ain't going to happen. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us the very opposite. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die. You see what I'm saying? That's why I love the Lord. Brother Sean, he's always, the Lord shoots me gun barrel straight. Amen. I mean, he's telling me that. But see, I can get prepared for that. And just as the sister sung, amen. And the brother, man, thank God for that song. What love, amen. I was thinking, woo, glory to God, amen. It's been better since I got a hold of that, amen. Folks, what I'm trying to say is, that's where it's at. Folks, listen, when you get to wondering what that love is and how the Lord bared the curse for you, things are getting better, amen. Folks, you can, if you, that's what you got to focus on. My hope's not in this world. I'm not exempt from anything. I mean, I could be as Job. Hopefully I won't be, but I could be as Job. Job lost all of his kids in one day. I am not above that. I could lose everything in my home, lose everything. But folks, listen, where should my hope be? You say, well, preacher, you just saying that makes me nervous. Folks, listen, let me give you a big news flash. I was teaching to my teenagers just last week. Matter of fact, it was on Wednesday. And I got this 13-year-old girl. She was sitting right there, and I said about the same thing. I was talking to them teenagers, and I said, let me tell you something that teenagers don't think about. But I said, newsflash, and what is it? This little 13-year-old girl spoke up, and she says, we're dying. I said, you're dying? She said, yeah. I said, well, what happened? And that's the thing about it is, folks, you understand that. We're waiting on the doctor to say you're dying. Folks, have you read your Bible? Did you know you're closer to dying than when you walked in this door at 10 or 11, whatever time you got here? I got here real close to 11 sharp. I heard the bell ringing, amen? But folks, did you know that the book of Acts chapter number 27, verse about 16, I believe if I've got that right, somewhere down through there, it said the Lord has appointed our times beforehand, amen, before time, and He set our bounds? Folks, do you not understand that Creston Burke's got a minute, a day, an hour, and a second? I am leaving here. Folks, I mean, when are we going to get a hold of that and say it's getting better? Amen. Folks, what I'm trying to say is that's what the Apostle Paul knew. I've heard stories, and of course the biblical account don't tell us this, but the historical account, they say when the Apostle Paul was led, you know, they cut his head off, but when he was led out to that guillotine, and they said he ran toward it and stuck his head in there. Amen. Do you know why anybody would run to a guillotine? Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. I mean, the Apostle Paul thought it's fixing to get better. Amen. I mean, folks, listen, what I'm trying to tell you is I believe that's what Jesus wanted to do. You see, folks, Jesus did heal people. He did raise the dead. But He done that in that day and that time to show forth who He was, that He had all power, that He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Folks, that's why at the tomb of Lazarus, I believe He wept. Now, He wasn't weeping because Lazarus was dead, because He's fixing to raise him up. But I believe He wept because of their unbelief, of the sorrow, of the pain that sin has brought. And folks, it is the horrid thing that you ever face of being separated from a loved one. You're not designed to die. You don't even like preachers telling you that's in the Bible. You are eternally created to live forever from the original makeup. Go read it, Genesis chapter 2, and then Genesis 3, that all changes. That's not God's plan. Now, it's the devil and sin and its plan. And because of sin, death passed upon all men. But that's where it gets better. Let's read about when and how things got better right here just a little bit. I want to look in the book of Hebrews. And anyway, in Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 6. And 8, by the way, is a number of new beginning. Now, folks, if you need a brand new start, just pay attention to the eights in the Bible. Why, it'll just absolutely obliterate your mind when you start seeing the many things surrounded by that. But here we are in chapter number 8, and thank God it's got verse number 6, 6 being the for man, but it says, "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better," he is the mediator of a better covenant. Do you see that? Better. Better's in your Bible. I mean, somebody knows better, amen. It says, which was established upon better promises. Now, folks, I just know something when I read that. There's some things I don't know, but I do know better. I mean, Brother Ronnie, I remember when things was worse. I remember when I didn't know the promises of God. But then the new covenant, I heard somebody talk about that redeeming flow. And things got better. Amen. Glory to God. I've been shouting ever since. I've been learning to even shout more. I've been learning to shout later and longer and louder. Amen. I've even learned to shout when it ain't on time. Amen. I can just shout because it's better. Amen. I got it. I mean, folks, it's based on a promise, not on the right here and the right now, the checks in the mail, sunshine and no rain. Folks, it's based on the promises of God. That's what you got to do there, folks. So what I'm trying to say is it was established. Folks, if you don't set your hope and on the promises of God and believe what's coming to you, folks, listen, you should already know it's done been sung in here about the love of God and the blood of God, and it washed all our sins away. I wish I could sing that part right there. Away, amen. But anyway, I got the spirit of it. Y'all know where I'm at in the song, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm standing up here and going to face God one day. And even I'm not going to have to give an account for one sin, Brother Sean. Thank God. Amen. I could just shout her out right there because Jesus bore all my sins. He's paid everyone. I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have the righteousness of God because it got better ever since the love of God brought the grace of God and brought the blood of God and brought the promises of the blood by believing in the blood of Christ that I'm born again. And folks, it's been better. Amen. Now, folks, listen, I'm just saying, there's enough of y'all in here to turn this county upside down if you just leave that message and just say, hey, it's better. Man, things are getting better. Why, you get people's attention. They'll stop and listen to you. They'll think, what, have you not seen the news headlines? Have you not heard the latest COVID numbers? Have you not seen what's went on around the world? Have you not seen what happened in Afghanistan? I mean, folks, just on and going it goes. Folks, it's getting better. I'm just born again, though. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. You see, that's why the psalmist said, unless I believed. Friend of mine, I'm not a pretender. I don't even like playing pretend. I never was good at really playing pretend when I was a kid. I just wasn't good at it. I wanted to, just never could figure it out. And I always realized as Popeye said, I yams what a yams. And I realized I didn't even like who I was. But then the Lord found me my sins, gave me a new garment of righteousness to wear, give me a wonderful family like the Helenwood Baptist Church brothers and sisters. Amen. And it's good. I'm telling you what, I see smiles everywhere I'm turning this morning because you all know better. Amen. I know you all know better. You're glowing back there. Amen. You're shining like the light of the world. Even Jesus said, man, don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. And no, y'all ain't. And you're just back there saying, woo, yes, preacher. Amen. It's good right here. Amen. I mean, folks, I'm glad it's better. I'm glad I've got something to shout about. Amen. I'm glad we've got something to preach other than news headlines. Amen. Folks, what I'm trying to say, Jesus made the difference right here. Let's look one more place in Hebrews right here. Look in chapter 12, verse number 24. It says, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. Better things than that of Abel. You see, folks, listen, it's speaking better. But what happens, and folks, I'm guilty of this. I get to listen at things. I mean, I ain't no different than the rest of yous. I can look at my family, my kids, and just, I don't know, I try to look at my bank account and try to figure it all out. And man, I'm so depressed when I do that. And folks, then I have to get back to looking at the Word of God. Then I have to think, man, Creston Burke, do you realize you are almost 53 years old? Have you ever went without a meal? I mean, do you, I mean, just look what you, where you're at now and where you used to be, amen? I was thinking this morning about how things is better. I was out there, and I was out there where our laundry room was, and I seen, man, there laid a quarter and a nickel and a dime. I don't know. They just changed laying all over there. Folks, I can remember in my house when, and then my wife go washing the clothes, and I'd find a quarter or a dime. I'm thinking, glory to God, 35 cents. I can get a pop out of the pop machine. Now, y'all think I'm joking, amen? I've been married 30 years. 30 years ago, it wasn't like it is now. I'm just saying it's better. Hey, man. I'm telling you, folks, God's blessed me too much in every way you want to go about it. Amen. It's just better. It's just better everywhere I look. Man, God help us to focus on the negatives, being a negative Nancy or a negative Nelson. I just want to be a blood-bought, born-again, hallelujah, shout her out. It's better, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to give Him praise, honor, and glory. That's what the psalmist said. Come before His gates with praise and thanksgiving. We're walking in thinking, Lord, I need a, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know what I'm saying? Folks, we're so focused on the negative. And it'll get you down. It'll mess your message up, amen? But anyway, I hope it ain't messing mine up this morning. Mine's better. But thing that, folks, listen, I just want to say this. There's some things that I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot about the future I don't know. But I ain't trying to figure it out. But there's some things I do know. I do know, Brother Sean, I know better. I know better. I remember it as worse. I remember as a 16-year-old boy. I wasn't going really starving then or nothing then, really. I was lost. Oh, I didn't know better then. I didn't know, sis, redeeming blood has washed my sins. I didn't know that. It wasn't better for me that day. I'm telling you, as a 16-year-old boy, actually he's 15. I got saved right before my 16th birthday, like 2 days, I think. But what I'm trying to say is, God got to dealing with me strongly. I remember at 10, the Lord's dealing with me. I even thought I got saved because I cried in church. You ever done stuff like that and thought, well, I've had an emotional experience. Well, I must be saved. Well, I proved my life for about 6 years. Hey, man, I wasn't saved. There wasn't nothing about me saved. I'd like to think I was saved. But folks, you can't have faith in faith. Your faith better be in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people think, well, man, I'm just trying to believe that I believe. No, man, don't worry about that. Just believe in Jesus. Amen. Man, the object of your faith has to be Christ. Amen. And man, when you get your object as your faith, you're going to realize everything is all right. Amen. But the thing about it is, folks, there's some things I don't know, but I do know better. And not only do I know better, but I like better, don't you? You that really know better. I mean, those songs they were singing, you know, I mean, I was about to blow a gasket. Amen. I mean, glory to God. There wasn't a song in here that didn't exalt Christ or the blood of Christ. I thought, man, what glorious singing. There's nothing else to shout about, folks. That is it. I mean, it's the love of God and the blood of God. Amen. It's all in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, folks, let me just read this here in closing. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. 11's a number of chaos. Amen. I mean, that's why we have 9/11. I mean, if that don't ring a bell, nothing will. Amen. That's a very chaotic day in America. Amen. But, I mean, really, you can look at 11. You can go to Genesis chapter 11. And, folks, it's chaos there. I mean, God had to take and confound the languages of men. They went scattered everywhere, and there's a confused nation. That's what chaos is, confusion. There's no direction. And it's very bleak when things happen. Leaven is just denoted, amen, as through Scripture. You can see things like that a lot. But let me caution you right here. Let me help some of y'all, because some of y'all think, man, I'm born November. Well, I am too, amen, so it's okay. I even got married in November, amen, and she's sitting there. We'll be married 30 years in November, amen. I mean, glory to God. I'm telling you what, I love my wife more than I ever have, and I enjoy my wife more than I ever have. Folks, I enjoy my family more than I ever have. I'm just saying it's better up here, amen. So anyway, folks, what I'm trying to say is you can't take numerology and run over a cliff with it. I mean, 11 don't mean everything's got 11 on it. It's crazy. So you got to understand that. But sometimes God can denote a message right there. Pay attention here. I'm trying to show you something. Look around. take notice. So the thing about it is, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know why that right there is a chaotic time? Because, folks, that's Babylonian captivity. Folks, the nation had been against God. They'd run against God. They'd run into their rope, and God was dealing with them. He was in Babylonian captivity. But, thank God, it was getting better. Amen. Notice what he says. I know the thoughts, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. Folks, listen, their hope wasn't in the right here and now. It was hard. Folks, I believe it's hard on us. And folks, if we ain't real careful, we're going to make the most foolish mistake and show our ignorance before a holy triune God and say, God, we don't understand. We need your blessings. Lord, I'm living right and I'm doing right, and you ain't blessing us. Now, I'm telling you what, folks, I believe God blesses remnants. That can be a household. That can be an individual. That can be churches. That can be groups of individuals. But, folks, if you're in the mindset that you want God to bless America without straightening the mess that America stands for, you got another thing coming, folks. I mean, when's the last day you got up and cried over all the babies that are being aborted? And then you want to turn around and say, God bless us. Well, God says, well, fix that. I mean, I believe God says, and my people will turn. I mean, folks, listen, there's enough of us in here. We need to be training some of these young men right here to run for president. I'm not joking about that. I mean, really, folks? I mean, why don't we do that? That's how you right the ship. And, folks, I'm just trying to say we need to understand, man, America is in trouble. Folks, that's why you don't put your hope in America. Your hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you don't ask crazy. I start to say even worse than that. But folks, listen, really, that's a crazy request. God bless America. Man, you'll be weeping for America. She is so far off course. She's standing against God on every leg, and God is blessing you right in the middle of it. Man, I'm telling you what, I'm just glad that you know better. I'm glad you have God's blessings. Amen. But the thing about it is, the Lord goes on in verse number 12. He said, then shall you call upon me. Ye shall go and pray unto me. And I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Folks, listen. How many of you does it convict that you think, man, I'm just seeking God for his hand. I never seek the face of God. I'm never studying the face of God. I don't even spend time in prayer. Matter of fact, I mean, this altar is a forsaken altar. If this altar could talk, I've not been there in some time. Lord's blessed me. I'm blessed on every corner. I've got so many blessings, but yet I don't go thanking God for blessings. You know what I'm saying? I mean, folk, God help us not to be that way in the house of God. I'm glad I growed up as a little boy. And man, I growed up and I remember the different churches and that I was in. And man, I can remember people flooding the altar. And I even remember as a boy, you know what I'm saying, coming up here, and I'd be standing about like this looking around, and I'd just be looking, maybe people everywhere, and I was a kid, I'd just be looking at them thinking, what? No, I mean, man, they'd be bowing down, they'd be crying out to God, they'd be crying out for everything, some of them be praising the Lord, and I was taking all that in. That's some people that knew better. Amen. Man, they knew better. And to get back to the old phrase, I mean, even back then, they knew better than to be unthankful. They knew better now. We don't even know better than that today. We got people come to our churches. They're looking for a real God. God can speak. God can shatter out. God can say, hey, I've done all this for you in a message. And we just sit idly by. And we wonder why people ain't getting the message. They're reading us all right. Amen. Just keep your seats. That's the message we give. Amen. I mean, I don't know if that convicts you, convicts me, amen. I just think we meet, we'll be in one mind, one accord, fall on our face before God and say, Lord, thank you, Lord, that it's so good. Thanks for the forgiveness of my sins. Amen. Enough said right there. But folks, what I'm trying to say is, folks, it's getting better. Even John the Revelator. Did you know John? Did you know him personally? I hadn't either. Was he 6 months ago, 6 years ago, 60 years ago? Man, he's way back there hundreds of years ago, even beyond 1,000 years. Even he wrote then, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Man, he was saying back then, it's looking better from where I'm at. You see what I'm saying, folks? There was great promises even in John's day. He knew it was getting better. And the thing about it is, Apostle Paul goes on and he says this in the book of Philippians chapter number 4. You remember when he said, think on these things? Did you know the Bible tells you to do that? to think on these things. I mean, folks, that's our problem. We don't think on the right things. You get to thinking about everything in the world, and you're going to fall in that category. If your hope's in this world only, man, you'd be of all men most miserable. But boy, when you get to thinking on these things, and Apostle Paul, by the way, when he is writing that, he's even in prison. I mean, in the book of Philippians there, and he's saying, think on these things. You know what I'm saying? And folks, listen, he gives a big, long grocery list of things to think on. And folks, I'm just trying to say it'll help you if you'll do that. But folks, what I want to say unto this, notice in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 11 again, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and it shall fall into a pit on the Sabbath day? Will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Jesus goes on in verse number 12. He says, how much then is a man better than that sheep? Woo, glory. Jesus didn't die for no woolly sheep, amen, but he did for me, amen. Folks, what I'm just trying to say, I know you're going to fall, and there's pitfalls. Hey, young people, when you're coming out of your teenage years, and man, I've got one right there that's in their 20s, got another 19 fixing to be in the 20s, but folks, what I'm trying to say is, you remember when you was that age, and you couldn't believe how stupid people was. You just thinking, man, I mean, the world's so simple, everything's easy. Folks, there's pitfalls out there, and we all of us of any kind of age know that. But every one of you sitting here, if you went home and I said, come back and tell me the grocery list, and list down every time God's lifted you out, you couldn't write them all down. Folks, we just don't do the right kind of accounting. We ain't doing the right kind of inventory. I'm telling you, God's blessed and delivered and delivered. He's helped us. He's never failed me, not one place. He's lifted me out of every pit. He's given me the greatest things to think on. And I have to be honest with you, I'm 53 years old and I'm just now starting to think like this. Can I confess and repent right here before you? You don't have to confess before the priest. Bible does say confess your faults one to another. I mean, I'm telling you what, you listen to most messages and most preachers think everybody's doom, gloom, and dying. I mean, if you listen to them, I mean, man, where's the hope and the blood of Jesus? I mean, where's the freedom and the liberty? I mean, why did Apostle Paul say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? That brother right there, he was beaten, left for dead, didn't complain about it. I mean, he still had these statements. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Folks, listen, yes, we're all dying. We don't have to wait till a doctor to tell us that. Jesus done told us that. Jesus tells us why. It's a sin. It's sin nature. We all have it. I have it. You have it. We're bent towards sin. That's why we have to be taught right. That's why we have to be born again. So the thing about it is, folks, I said we get to the Hebrews chapter 11, Hall of Faith. We're going to close with this thought right here. But verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach. I've had to do that. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. And folks, that's why the Bible says, lay not your treasures up on earth, but you know, rather lay them up in heaven. I mean, folks, what I'm trying to say is, I mean, folks, the Lord has blessed you with some of the most greatest people. I'm telling you, we live among the greatest people on the planet. I mean, I know y'all is a great church. You all are a great church, amen. I mean, the fire of God breathes in this place, amen. I know it is. Y'all come to get warmed up to it. And folks, it'd just be good that if God would warm us up like that, wouldn't it be good that we'd be a people stand on our feet, bow to our knees, and say, Lord, thank you, Lord. I mean, yes, I'm considering and esteeming those things. You know that esteeming, you have to look at the judgment and the afflictions and the things you're going to bear to be a Christian, and you're going to say, you know what? It's better than anything on earth. Amen. Why is it that Solomon wrote vanity upon vanity upon vanity? I mean, just it's all vanity. Folks, it's in vain. I've been guilty. I've had a mindset of chasing the world, thinking if I can be here, have this, and do this. No, folks. It's nothing. It's not in things. Folks, that we have each other is one of the greatest blessings to walk with, to encourage. Brother, you've encouraged me so many times. I mean, there's been times, and they're not scripted. We've had late night phone calls. I don't know. It's a God thing. You know what I'm saying, brother? To know that you are running the race is an encouragement to me. You know what I'm saying? Brother, I've known you since I was a teenager. Brother, to come down here and to see you and thinking, glory to God, hallelujah, what an encouragement. Did you know there's people, they ain't got people like that in their life. They don't got a church. They don't got a church family. But folks, what I'm trying to say is God gathers us in here like his little children, and I just want you to understand this, that Moses even got to understanding that, man, it's better to suffer the afflictions of a Christian. And folks, I'm just trying to say when that burning bush got to burning in his life and wouldn't go out, things changed. Things got better. It changed his course of direction. He was never the same. Matter of fact, he got so much boldness, walked right up in Pharaoh's face and says, let my people go. Amen. And he suffered plague after plague along with everybody else. But then they get down to the 10th and final plague and God delivers them. I've got news for you, folks. I'm just going to stand in front of the world and say, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I've got the blood applied and it ain't going to wash away. Amen. Jesus is soon to deliver me, and I hope you will go with me. Now, folks, what I'm trying to say is if you don't and can't think on these things and can't be thankful, the Bible says that the Lord, he hates pride. That's in the book of Proverbs, chapter number 6. It tops the list. Amen. We're full of pride. Now, you don't like hearing that because that's our fleshly nature. Don't like to be picked on, preached to, or nothing. We're so full of pride, we can't even thank God for nothing. You know I'm telling you the truth. You say, but now, preacher, I'm thankful. I wouldn't even want to make a statement that I'm thankful the way I need to be thankful, Brother Charles. I'm not. I get up, hit the floor, and run and never say a word to God some mornings. And he come by and woke me up. He didn't do that for somebody this morning. They're no longer on planet Earth. You say, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. You ever been to Neyland Stadium? 106,000 people. Did you know 1.75 times that number full? In eternity, every 24 hours. That's a lot of people. I mean, just at one time full is a lot of people. I can't imagine filling it up and having the power to go shake it out and say, you're in eternity. How many of them jokers you think is born again? How many of them jokers you think should have said, man, I should have been thanking God, rooting for the red team, you know. Thanking God for the blood. Man. I've been there, nothing wrong being there, folks. Nothing wrong with a lot of things. We have let our priorities slip. God help us, we can't repent and say, Lord, listen, it's been so better. And I'm spoilt like a spoilt rotten kid. You have blessed me on every corner, and I can't even, I've lost the heart to say thank you. That ought to hurt your heart, that it hurts God that hands you handfuls of purpose every day, and you think you're doing it. I remember my dad letting me drive in his lap. I'd have the wheel. Brother Houston, I just thought I was driving. My dad's right there holding the wheel the whole time, the gas pedal, the clutch, the brake. The Lord's doing it for you today. It ain't me and it ain't you. It ain't us. It's him. Somebody come get a song of invitation. We're going to close right there. Folks, I know better. I'm glad I know better. I'm glad I'm born again. My sins are washed away. Ever since that day, that redeeming flow. Whew, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The places you've been, the things you've done, and if you've trusted Jesus, they're away. That's good stuff, sister. You wonder why I can stand up here and shout? If you'd been where I've been, done some things I've done, you'd be glad yours was gone away. But maybe that's the problem. Maybe you're just religious. You're a churchgoer. You're a church member. You have no relationship with your Savior. You can't even say thank you to the Savior. Friend of mine, you might be in trouble. Remember Lydia? She went to worship. She heard the things entertained under Paul's preaching. God opened her heart. She got born again. He even said she went to worship. Folks, just because you're here to worship don't make it all right. Trust in Jesus does. And a relationship with Him is proof. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you walk with Him and talk with Him? The song says a long life's merry way. You'd spend 5 minutes with most of us and you'd never hear nothing merry. I wonder who your Savior is. Mine's Jesus. And it's better, folks. As she plays, let's stand to our feet. Maybe you just like to come say, Lord, I remember when I didn't know better.